IUD can stay in you for 8 years. So after they're done, the nurse hands you a sticker with a date on it. Of 8 years from that day. So you know when to replace it. So I just pop that on my windshield next to my oil change sticker. Where else am I going to put that thing? I got one that says Valvoline, one that says Volvoline. I just look at it. Just keep an eye. I told my dad about the sticker thing, and he goes, "Oh, that's interesting. I wonder if it works the same way as a car where it goes by either the date or the mileage."
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
And making a triumphant return to the show is Kelsey. Kelsey, welcome back.
Yay! Hi, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Well, we couldn't be happier that you agreed to come back on the show. Not something that happens very often.
Surprised.
We're surprised.
Happy.
You guys are great. I love it.
Well, you know, we often say on the show that there's only two reasons why someone comes on the show. They're on their way up or on their way down.
I love it.
You are definitely on the way
up.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. TCB Infomercial Tuesday with yet another repeat customer, Kelsey Cook.
I can't believe it.
Seeing
Someone's
her moment.
Agreed.
She's seeing her moment. She's having her moment. She's coming on the show even though she's much more popular than she was even just 6 months ago, which I find hard to believe. Thank you, Kelsey.
Obviously, our show helped catapult her.
There is no doubt.
Into the realm of superstardom.
No doubt that we played a huge role in her success, and I'd like to take credit for that, and I'd like her to admit that here on the show. That if it wasn't for the commercial break, she wouldn't, in fact, have a new special out on Hulu and YouTube. And if it wasn't for the fact that she came on the commercial break, she would not be as popular and making as much money as she is right now. And when she admits that, I'll be happy. As long as she gives us tickets to her next appearance here in Atlanta. That's one thing we need to ask all our guests. If you come to Atlanta, backstage passes, drink tickets for the kids, and a bucket of popcorn.
Yep.
That's what I would like.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Those are our demands.
Yes. Those are our demands. That's our rider, Kelsey Cook. And I'll have you know that I will take no shit. I will take nothing less than free popcorn at your next event. KelseyCook.com is where you can find more information about Kelsey, all of her tour dates. She's on an extensive tour right now, so I'm sure she's coming somewhere close to you. So go to KelseyCook.com to buy those tickets. And the brand new special on Hulu and YouTube, which I'd like to ask her about.
Because it's so funny, I have to say. Yeah, it's from beginning to end. It's really funny.
Everybody here has watched the special. Everybody has given it it a Michelin star,
well,
essentially.
I think we were talking about this earlier. I think what makes it even funnier is because she does not look like the person that is saying the stories that she's saying.
No, it's true. No, it's true. You're right. I don't know what else to say. I mean, Kelsey is... She very much looks like a innocent,
like a t-shirt
Midwestern
or something.
Girl. Yeah. Yeah. And that's no knock. I mean, no knock
She's
on
beautiful.
The way that she looks. She's beautiful. But I'm just saying, when you know, there's certain, like when you look at Madison from Love is Blind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She looks like a troublemaker.
Yeah.
Right. In those eyes, there are years of experience and she looks like a troublemaker. But when you look at someone like Kelsey, she seems like she could do no wrong,
yeah.
Right? She just seems like a very innocent, nice human being. But when you watch her special, you realize that there's some dirt behind those eyes. And I'd like to talk to her about that, too. Of course, she's got the podcast also that...
that she does with her boyfriend,
she does with
Chad.
She does with her boyfriend, Chad, who's also a very famous, very popular comedian. Hold on 1 second, because I'm looking at Hulu here. She's got a link on her website, and I am trying to... Oh, watch on YouTube. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if I can pull this up. The Hustler is the one that she did a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
was The Hustler. And then Mark Your Territory is the new one. I wanted to mistakenly call it The Hustler, but it's Mark Your Territory is the new special. 800-pound gorilla who is supporting great comedy. 800 Pound Gorilla has a ton of comedy specials. And I don't know who those people are, but they're doing great work to support good comedians. And I say, yay, sir. Yay to you. So Kelsey will be on in just a few minutes. While we're at it, we'll talk more extensively about this later on in the week. But I wanted to share that on last week's show, we were talking about Love is Blind.
Yes.
I was talking about Madison. And I was talking about how Madison was having a conversation with one of the guys in the pods. And one of the guys in the pods started to catch on to her shenanigans a little bit, right? He pushed back. He said, hey, listen, I don't think I could deal with the way that you handle things. Or that's not the way that I would handle it. That's not the way I would prefer it to be handled. And so
conflicts.
Attachment style.
Yeah.
Conflicts. Mm-hmm. Then there was another question about sex. There was another question about the way that you deal with the way that you run away when someone does
avoidance,
the way that you don't want your partner to be involved in fixing you. And he just, all these little hints that she was dropping, he kind of picked up on and said, that wouldn't be good for me, actually. I don't like that.
Kudos to him.
And kudos to him.
He probably wouldn't have said it if he had been seeing her, if he had looked at her.
I agree with you there. I agree. If she was at the bar and they were having that conversation face to face, I said it before, I'll say it again. He would have rolled like a puppy dog because those eyes are like, I don't know, like the Cheshire Cat, little swirling eyes that hypnotize you. You're like, Madison. But now, because we're talking about it here, my phone's listening, I'm getting all of these reels about Love is Blind. And I come to find out that this guy, and I don't want to give the name away because I want, if you haven't watched Love is Blind, I want you to be able to watch it without interference from Brian. But this guy apparently is not the dorky, nerdy kid who he claimed to be, number one. And number two, he's not the nice guy that he claimed to be, according to some people in Minnesota.
I cannot believe that somebody on reality television is lying.
Do you know what?
I mean, it seems unfathomable.
It seems unreal that we would get a twisted story from the producers of such hits as Baby Reindeer. Love is Blind. Did you cheat on me lately?
What's the other show they did that Nick and Vanessa do?
Ultimatum. Are You the One? Ultimatum. Yeah, which is a terrible show.
It really is.
Put your loved one in with another attractive human being and see if they have sex.
But it's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea.
Great for TV.
Yeah, it's a cheating factory. And by the way, no one that walks into the Ultimatum, which is couples, go in together and they get to like peruse around the other couples to see if there's someone they like better. No one who's secure in their relationship would ever go on that show.
No.
I would bring Astrid into a room full of hot 30-something guys?
Yeah,
no, because I don't stand a chance. I don't stand a chance. I try and keep Astrid out of all rooms with hot 30-something guys. That's it. That's my rules. Those are my rules. But anyway, these women in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, are a-talking. They're a-yapping.
That's what I've heard.
And there's a through line here, because Kelsey Cook is living in Minneapolis. Am I right about this?
She is.
Okay,
yes.
She's living in Minneapolis.
She moved in with Chad, or they bought a house together.
They bought a house together. I won't waste her time on Love is Blind, but just know that there's a through line here. Apparently, a lot of the guys that are on Love is Blind this season have a lot of dirt. And there's a lot of people around them that are willing to spill that tea on social media, because there's not one guy who is featured on this show doesn't have some drama about him right now out there on the internet. So while I said this was the slowest season of Love is Blind, it is on the show. But outside the show on social media, things are just heating up. KelseyCook.com. Go get tour tickets. Check her special out on Hulu or YouTube. There are links on her website. We have links in the show notes. And please check out her and Chad's podcast, which is available everywhere you listen to podcasts. Wherever you're listening to us now, you can listen to their podcast. I think that drops weekly. Am I right? I think so. I listened to a couple episodes. I actually thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So they have like a little comedy factory going on up there in Minneapolis.
And I think they're going on tour together.
Well, let's see. We'll ask her all about it when we get back. I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Let's take a short break.
Through the magic.
And then when we get back through the magic of telepodcasting, we'll bring Kelsey Cook in and we'll have a conversation. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll be back.
Rachel here. While Brian takes his old man bladder to the little boy's room, let's talk turkey. TCB needs your help. If you love the show, do us all a favor and share. Sharing is caring, and we know you care, don't you? Well, don't you? Ooh, that was some childhood trauma. Rearing its ugly head. Do you want to be on the show? Leave us a voicemail at 212-433-3822, and you could be the next TCB disembodied voice. Ooh, what'd you do today? I was a disembodied voice? You know, that sounds more dangerous than it actually is. Find us on Insta at The Commercial Break, on the web at tcbpodcast.com, and all the episodes on video are available the same day at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. I'm going to go help Brian get back up the stairs while you listen to the sponsors, and then we'll all meet back here and get back to this episode of The Commercial Break. I'll take a raise now, bitches. Bye.
And making a triumphant return to the show is Kelsey. Kelsey, welcome back.
Yay. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Well, we couldn't be happier that you agreed to come back on the show. Not something that happens very often.
Surprised.
We're surprised.
Happy.
You guys are great. I love it.
Well, you know, we often say on the show that there's only two reasons why someone comes on the show. They're on their way up or on their way down.
I love it.
You are definitely on the way up.
Yeah.
Sure.
Congratulations and all your success since we talked to you last.
Thanks so much, guys. You guys are so nice.
We were talking... Just before we started recording, we were sharing that she just saw, you did a couple of big shows or a big show at the Wilbur in Boston in just the last, how long ago was it when we talked to you? Just like 6 months ago, right?
I feel like it's six to eight months.
Yeah, in 6 or 8 months, you have gone on quite the run, and all credit to you and the comedy that you're putting together, which is resonating with people. And let me ask you this. When you're in this moment, does it feel like things are heating up? Do you get this sense? Like, oh my gosh, I have a special coming out. I'm selling out shows. I'm doing theaters. Does it feel like that? Or is it too fast and furious to take a breath and recognize?
That's a good question. I'm trying to stop and smell the roses and all of that, because this business is really that way, where if you don't, it's like once you get there, there disappears, right? It's like you get to where you're trying to get to, and then you're like, okay, now what? And you're always just looking for the next thing. Mm-hmm. But it's just, that's such a slippery slope into not being happy, because there is kind of no limit in this career. It's like you see the people at the top of the mountain in stand-up, and it's like, oh my God. It's such a different thing now. It's like you become a full rock star, essentially.
Yes. Right.
And so I think it's really easy to feel like you're never doing enough. And I have really been trying hard to be like, okay, this is so cool. Like, especially if there are bucket list things happening, I'm like, okay, I need to really stop and appreciate this, because this is a really great feeling.
Was the Wilbur, or selling out a theater like that, was this a storied history? Was that like one of those bucket list things? Like, oh my gosh, I'm standing here in a place where so many other comedians have
absolutely
killed it.
Yeah, I have to, just because I'll feel like gross if I don't correct you. We didn't sell it out, but people came and it was great. But I can't just be like, yeah, we sold that. We didn't sell that one out. But there have been a lot of sold out shows on tour so far, which has felt great. But yeah, getting to do the Wilbur was, I mean, that's just such like an iconic venue. And the last time I was in Boston was at the Comedy Club, and we had sold out that whole weekend. And so I think that was a really great feeling of like, okay, I did kind of the best I could do at the club, and now because of that, I'm getting to do this bucket list thing. And that, like, when you can see those changes in your career, like getting to do theaters has been the coolest feeling.
I am so happy for you. Yes. I think that's really cool. I just enjoy so much watching nice people succeed, good people succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I take great pleasure in it. It gives me zero hope that the Commercial Break will ever get to that level, because I'm not a good person. But
oh my gosh. Hey, there's plenty of shitty people who succeed in this business. Don't you worry about it.
Thank you.
Don't worry.
There's a lot worse people.
Shitty people deserve love too.
It's true. You're so nice. What are you talking about?
Thank you. So who are the people at the top of the, whose career do you admire right now? Like, who do you look at and you go, oh my gosh, they're doing such a great job. And I aspire to that, or maybe not even aspire, but I guess you look at them and you go, they're at the top of the hill.
They're really crushing it. I mean, a couple people that come to mind right away are obviously like Taylor Tomlinson, who's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And Nikki Glaser, also one of my friends, having this massive moment right now. And seeing the level of work that those two put in is truly mind-blowing. It's like, I look at Taylor, who's hosting After Midnight during the day, right? And then touring on the weekends. And it's like, she actually does not have free time. It is like
she doesn't have a life.
She is constantly grinding, and it's just so impressive, and I'm so proud of her, because it does it just makes you go, oh wow, like that is possible to be excelling at that level. So and I think that's what I mean before, where the sky is the limit now in stand-up. Like, people are doing so much beyond just like touring. And I think I've had to maybe like recalibrate my goals a little bit and be like, okay, what is actually important to me? Like, do I want the biggest amount of fame, the whatever, all that stuff? And knowing that with that can also come a lifestyle that I also don't really want.
Right.
So kind of trying to find that balance of like, I of course want to just keep getting better and better at stand-up and growing my fan base, but knowing that I love living in Minnesota and having this very normal life when I'm not on tour and like playing pickleball with my boyfriend during the day, you know, like I like the balance I have in my life. And so, just trying to figure out like what I ultimately want, I guess.
We have these conversations all the time. We have these DeLulu conversations all the time. Chrissy and I do. Like, there are steps you can take to move outside of the RSS feed, so to speak. Like, we live very much in this RSS bubble. We do this show at our, here in a local studio, and we live regular lives outside of this. But there are lots of podcasters, mainly comedians, who do this out there, who have this level of fame and success where I think that their lives are altered because they are outside the RSS feed, outside of that bubble. Mm-hmm. And so Chrissy and I often say, what would it be like to live outside that bubble, or if we took steps to live outside of that bubble? And I can see what you're saying, because maybe your life changes in a way that doesn't feel like it sounds great. But then when it happens, maybe it's not. Like, when you can't go to the grocery store without 10 people asking for an autograph or take a picture, or can you do a reel with me, or whatever, people start to get this sense of, you know, they want to encroach on a universe that's been exclusively yours, or you and your boyfriends, and that feels good to you. It feels good to go out, get the adoration, do what you do, kill it, and then come home and be a normal person.
Yeah, and it's funny because I had looked up to my boyfriend for so long in comedy, because I just so admired that he had achieved the goals he wanted to in stand-up without having to, like, live a life that he didn't want to. You know, he didn't come up in L.A., didn't come up in New York. He has stayed in Minnesota this whole time, where he's from originally, and had his Netflix special come out last year. Like, he is, and now he's, like, selling out all his shows, and I just was like, wow, that's such a cool life. And I was like, well, now I'm with them forever. So it's great. It's like the best.
They're like a little incubator over there in Minnesota.
Oh, I know. I have family up there in Minneapolis. My husband's brother and his family live up there. And I love it whenever I go visit up there. It's fantastic.
It's great.
I've been in the winter, and yes, it's freezing. Yep. But there's also times when it's not. And it's a beautiful city. I love the people there.
Yeah. It's exactly what you said. The winters are insane.
Yeah.
And like... make you feel like I can't be alive right now. Minus 18 feels like minus 26.
You can't even step outside.
Yeah, your eyelashes just like snap off. I mean, it's like not normal living conditions for a human being.
No.
Our poor dog, when he has to go outside to shit in that weather, it's like a power poop. It's like you've never seen a dog poop so fast in his life. He like sprints, poops, sprints back in. It's just insanity. So, but yeah, and it's like, also such a great city to tour out of. If like touring is your primary thing in your career, it's like Minneapolis is very central. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of nonstop flights. The time zone change isn't crazy either way. And so, yeah, I never thought that that would be like a smart move. You don't think like you go to Minneapolis and your career flourishes. But LA is like a very hard city to tour out of. It's, you're so far in the corner. Going to New York is like a 5-hour flight.
It's miserable. It's a miserable flight.
Yeah, 3-hour time change. It's just a lot. So it's weird that you don't think of Minneapolis as being this like glitzy place for a career, but it actually like,
hey, it is Prince. That's all I gotta say. Prince never moved out of Minneapolis.
That's all. It's all you gotta say. Yeah,
he literally made Minneapolis like ground zero for.
Yes.
I know. I've got to get up to Paisley Park. Have you been to Paisley Park?
I haven't been, but I've been told I need to go, especially living here. So,
it's on my list.
Okay, so your new special, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Everybody here has watched it.
It's so
like required reading
beginning
around
to end.
Here.
Yeah. Solid.
Thank you.
And I'll say this, the ladies, including Astrid, Tina, Chrissy, all just raved about this special. I think it really resonates. And I thought it was very funny also. Yeah, I don't see you as the jealous type.
That's so
that
funny.
That surprised me. That's like the biggest surprise eye-opener of the entire special was like, she's not jealous. Is she a jealous type? She seems so mild-mannered.
Yeah, you know, I am mild-mannered, but it's kind of like what I said in the joke, that it wasn't until my 30s that switch kind of flipped. And I don't know if it's like a primal caveman thing where once I was with Chad and, you know, it's like you get a little bit older and I think you can tell that like death is not, this is dark to say, but like
doesn't look
death
so
is
off.
Not, yeah, it's not this like thing that you're just like, oh yeah. So it's like someday, you get a little older and you meet the person that you're like, oh, this is my forever person.
Yeah.
And then there is, at least for me, something set in of like, I need to, like, again, mark my territory, like, guard this person. And of course, because he's also like a touring comedian, he has tons of fans. Women love him. Uh-huh. I, you know, talked on the special about how I had that Crowdwork clip go viral of this woman who was like, oh my, your boyfriend's my favorite comedian.
And that's insane to me.
He's so hot and all this stuff. And, it's like, it's hard. You want your boyfriend to be desirable, right? Because that's a nice feeling when like other women find him so attractive. But like, yeah, it's...
But not too much.
I do.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
I do, which I think is like a very good sign that I'm like, no, like this is... I love him so much. I care so much about us and him that
I don't want anything getting in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's like a good... I think it comes from a place of passion. I mean, it's not like a psycho place. It's just more of a like, oh, this is a feeling I like didn't know that I was going to feel so strongly. And then I just
said
get
every
little...
girl to the judge.
Yeah. A bloody knife.
Yeah.
I do think you get older and it changes.
I get it. Like, I am not at all. I mean, I think I was more of a jealous type in my 20s, but mm-hmm. I just never really, like, okay, if you don't like me or if you're whatever with someone else, then I guess that's not for, I think it's laziness is actually what it is I'm too lazy to get involved in my own emotions about any of that stuff. But I do see what you're saying is that, you know, I love my wife passionately and mm-hmm. she's my one and I don't want to do this again, right? I like what we have and mm-hmm. this is the best relationship I've ever been in and I, all those things.
Yeah.
And I do see what you're saying is I think it's maybe not jealousy, it's protection.
It's protection.
Over protection. Mm-hmm. I want to protect me, my feelings, her, our relationship and the family that, or the life that we've built, I want to protect that. So it's more
and
like
travel,
a
travel too, I think has something to do with it.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you could be the most secure couple in the world, but if you're constantly away from each other and
right,
in different
course.
Cities, you can't help but kind of be like, well, what's maybe happening at, you know,
right.
down at the bar for drinks one night or something, you know?
Yes, I think that can play into it too. Is that, you know, and by the way, you can have all the trust in the world. That doesn't mean you're not human. That doesn't mean that, like, the mind abhors
exactly.
a vacuum. So
you
sometimes.
Can be, you can trust 100%.
And who is this bitch right. who's literally telling you to your face, your
husband, so
your boyfriend is hot?
You know, here's the thing. I
I learned, apologize for her.
No. I'm not apologizing.
That was a bad thing.
I learned more about her afterward because, you know, when I had posted that clip and it has like 15 million views. It's like insane.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And she had commented being like, I truly meant no disrespect. What she had meant by all of that was that she went to one of Chad's shows and her mom had passed away shortly before she went to one of his shows. And in like the merch line afterwards, she had told Chad like how much that show meant to her. Mm-hmm. It might have been the first time she had laughed since something like that had happened. And that he was just like, oh, I'm so sorry that you've gone through that. Thank you for telling me that. And so that was like I think a lot of where her love for him was coming from. But she, you know, I think had probably had some drinks at that, at my show and just was like getting pretty excited. But again, it's like that old Patrice O'Neill joke where it's like, you don't want to be with somebody who you like could send down the back alley in the middle of the night and like not worry about anybody like hitting on them or whatever. It's like, there is part of you that wants
someone that's
partner.
Desirable.
Yes, of course.
And he touched her in a moment of vulnerability. And I'm sure that she felt like that was, I'm putting words in her mouth, of course, but I suppose that what she felt was some sort of connection because in that moment, she felt like he reached out to her and said something nice. And, you know, when you're, when there's a famous comic standing up there and then you admire their work and then they connect with you, it's like, oh, okay, I'm sure she meant it. Like, I love your husband in a way that he was very nice and I made a special connection with him.
There was zero ill intent. I mean, her husband's sitting right there. Also, like, I don't know what it's like to be an audience member and have a comic talking to, I mean, it's like a lot of adrenaline, I'm sure, and it's not planned and you're just kind of like going with, I'm sure if I was in like the reverse situation, I might at some time in my life say something where I like put my foot in my mouth. It's hard to be on the other
all those
end of
factors.
It, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we were talking to Ari Shaffir about this, about like the people in the first couple of rows, you know, and how they go to a comedy show, you know, wherever it may be. They go to a comedy show and there's this sense that they understand, depending on who the comic is, that they could be a target of the comedy, right? And like some people may enjoy that, other people may not, but how they react in the moment, who knows, right? It's like a big X factor.
But I think also part of like feeling more protective of him and us is like I moved to Minnesota in the month of January to live with this man. Like we have life insurance. We bought a house together.
The state taxes.
Oh my God, the state taxes are so high. It's like it's just a different level of seriousness,
investment.
I guess. And like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Is there any interest? Has there been any discussion? This is a question, you know, that I probably shouldn't ask, but I'm going to ask. Has there been any conversation around getting married? Or is this just like, we're here, we're doing it, we don't need to put it on paper?
No, we do want to get married. We've just done everything so backwards that it's, I mean, which we've like loved and it's been fun and great. But, you know, we like bought a house, then we got life insurance. And it's like, it's kind of fun to know that this is it forever and know that we do want to get married, but like there's still some fun things left that haven't happened yet, right? Like, I'm excited for us to get engaged and get married because we have already checked off like some of the big things. And once you do them, it's kind of like you checked it off. Like buying a house together is such a fun, cool thing to do. And you know, once you do it, you're like, okay, we did it. And I think having those things to look forward to is kind of like a fun, healthy thing.
Oh, definitely.
All right. I was just wondering if I needed to call Chad and
have a conversation. No.
The benefits of locking it up. Chad.
No. We're locked up. But yeah, it is exciting to think about that happening.
Where did you film the special?
I shot it in Madison, Wisconsin. At Comedy on State.
Yes. And so did you do this over, I mean, I don't want to give away all the magic, but was this a couple of nights that then you strung together? Or did you just do one night and then you had callbacks or?
Yeah, we did one night and two shows in that night.
So
yep.
answer me this. I noticed that that it's on two platforms. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's so on Hulu and YouTube.
Okay, so why is that? I'm very curious as to why this is. I don't recall, at least, seeing this. This 800-pound gorilla, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've had a lot of comics on who've had specials on 800-pound gorilla. Good for them supporting good comedy.
Yeah.
So why is it double platformed?
So I have also never done this before, and I think it's something pretty new that Hulu's trying. There are pros and cons to it, right? If you have something come out on one platform, every audience member that's watching it is going to that one place, right? Yes. Like, the views aren't getting divided up. So that is one downside, is like, you know, the Hulu views aren't public. Like, even I don't know what the views are yet, now that it's been out for a couple weeks.
Tough. Yeah.
But the upside is, if you are putting a special out exclusively on YouTube, there are a lot of like bigger press outlets that wouldn't have you on to promote it if it's just a YouTube special. But as soon as a streamer is involved, then people go, oh, okay, like, well, now we'll have you on.
Yeah.
And case in point, the commercial break.
Right. The commercial break. You guys were like, look, we like you. Yeah, we can't have you do this YouTube thing again. We got to spice it up.
If we had every Yahoo with a YouTube special on, we'd do nothing but Yahoos.
You gotta bring that Hulu in here.
Yeah, that's what we told Kyle Kinane. I said, hey, dude, I'll have you on when you get on a streamer, okay?
But not, yeah, we can't have this.
Not yet, yeah.
So, like, it's been a little bit of a learning process of seeing, okay, like, this is something I like about doing it like this. This is something I kind of don't like. But I can't say yet what I'm about to do, but I'm about to do a big press thing in, like, a week and a half. Ooh. That wouldn't. Oh, it wouldn't have been possible if we didn't also have it come out on Hulu the same day. So, yeah.
Well, cool. I actually think it's a good idea, right? We talk about this a lot. Is like, being multi-platformed is so important. And I think the more opportunity you have to get in front of eyeballs or ears or whatever it is to share your work, your creativity, you're taking a lot of time, energy, and effort. This is what you do. It comes from, I'm sure, a lot of internal strife and struggle and hard work, and you want as many people to see that as possible. Not everybody has access to Hulu. Not everybody can either afford it or has it, or whatever the reason may be. And YouTube is such a juggernaut. I mean, they are, you know, there's more watching going on YouTube right now for the first time ever than all the television platforms put together. So YouTube is a player in the market.
Huge.
I think it makes a lot of sense that you would put this out. Both, has there been like generally positive feedback about this special? I saw some. Yeah. I was reading through the comments on YouTube, which is where I watched it. I was reading some of the comments, and unbelievably, like, most of them are so very good toward the special, and that's not like YouTube is the cesspool in the comments section. I don't usually read it, but I saw a bunch of people were just raving about your special.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I feel very, very fortunate that that's been the case. It's just really nice to read such nice things. And that's, again, put that in the column of upsides for putting it on YouTube, is that you do get to see positive feedback and you do get to interact with the people who are watching it. And that means a lot to me. So yeah, it's like, it's ultimately, you just want as many eyeballs on it as possible. Because I think most of us comics, the thing we want at the end of the day is for people to come see us on tour. So it's like, whether you watched it on Hulu or YouTube, if you watched it and you were like, oh, I want to see her live, then we're like, great, that's a win. You know?
Because I would imagine, I don't know, but I would imagine, and after having talked to a lot of comics, that the money that you make, the living that you make, is by and large done through live shows.
Yes.
It's not like Hulu's paying you $1 million for the rights to stream your special.
Right.
You may get some money out of them, or you, and I would imagine that if I were in a comic and I was up and coming and, you know, or trying to make a break, I would might even say, you can have this special. Just put it on your platform. Like, just put it on your platform.
Right. Yeah.
And then if it does well, then we can talk about it in a year or whatever. Maybe we can do another special. So I can see how this is really a driver to get more people to show up where you really make your bread and butter, which is at the live shows.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like I said, been
a
learning
experience.
It all works together.
Yeah,
it all works together.
Yeah, exactly. Because again, it's not like a Netflix deal where you're getting this like big paycheck up front, or even like a Hulu exclusive deal where you're getting a big paycheck. It is like a, you know, a situation where they are licensing it, they're putting it up there, but you're also putting it on YouTube. So you're mostly in this particular situation, like, okay, how do we get it seen by a lot of people and then drive ticket sales? But, you know, my last special, The Hustler, on YouTube, it only went on YouTube to start, and it has almost 4 million views now. It's like crazy what YouTube.
Crazy.
And I had like no expectation. You know, it was my first special. I was like, well, we're putting it on YouTube. Let's see. That changed my life. It completely changed my touring. It's just nuts what the power of YouTube is now.
Yeah. If you have 4 million views, you're not only putting some butts in seats, but then at the same time, you have some leverage to have those conversations with, you know, Disney executives. If I'm you and I'm trying to get on Hulu.
Brian wants to be your manager.
Yeah, I want to be your manager. I'm so fascinated by the inner workings of all this. If I'm you, or if I'm managing you, here's what I'm saying. Kelsey will do this special for free, but I need an all-expenses-paid vacation to Disney World once a year, which is the equivalent of about $1 million worth of net revenue.
Yeah. Corn dogs are $42, you know, all this stuff. Yeah.
Those fucking pretzel heads, those Mickey pretzel heads, they're like $15 a piece.
I believe it's insane.
I've heard. It's insane. So you're out on tour currently.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you looking? Tell me about the places that you, I mean, I know you're not going to tell me that you don't like any places to go. I get the politics of that, but tell me about
the places. I'll tell
you some places. No. Oh, tell me some places.
I would maybe tell you a couple, but do you really want to know places I don't like to
tell
be
me
at?
Yes, of course, please. I do. That's the more interesting conversation, but I'm trying to get my way in the back door here a little bit.
Well, I will say one place that I truly was like, you know what, I don't think I could go back here. This was just like a very tough experience, but I think understandably that I wouldn't want to go back. I did the Syracuse Funny Bone. This is like maybe 2-3 years ago. And it's in a mall. And right before the show was about to start, there was a shooting in the mall. And the manager came back to the green room and was like, okay, there's an active shooter in the mall. And when you hear the words active shooter, you picture trench coat, like,
yes,
that, like, there's no in particular target that, like, it's just, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I start crying in there. I'm terrified. I'm like, these are the things you read the news in and you go, I just hope I'm never in that situation.
Absolutely.
And there's somebody telling you, like, you're in this situation right now. Like, you're in the mall, there's an active shooter.
Oh my God.
And so, the mall got evacuated, show got canceled. We found out later that it was, like a gang shooting. It was targeted. It wasn't like active shooter was a little bit of a scary.
It was a little dramatic, but in the fog of war, they don't know. Yeah.
And I was just like, the place where the shooting happened, I was just walking in that area of the mall, like,
oh my God,
30 minutes before that. And so this is not like a dig to the people of Syracuse, because I am sure like the crowds there would be fun. I think I had done like maybe 2 shows the night before that, and I think I had a fine time. But I looked online after the shooting, and it turns out like there are shootings in that mall like every month. And I just was like,
exactly.
I can go to Twin Falls.
Sure, yeah. It's like
Buffalo.
Maybe I'd go back and do a different venue, but that was one where I was like, much to worry about anyway. I don't want to go to a place where there's like
shootings
all the time.
PTSD. Yeah, and I think it doesn't matter whether or not it was a targeted shooting. To me, it wouldn't matter or not. I don't care. A gun, so where someone's, if someone's pointing a gun in an open mall, I'm like, fuck all that. I just don't want to have anything to do with it.
And
and we do hear about this so often that it's a trigger word, I think, for everybody. Mm. You know, it's a real trigger word for me as a parent, that every time I hear the word school and gun, and it happens frequently, right? Every time I hear that, I just go in sheer panic, not because I think it's happening at the school my kids go to, but because it happens so often. Someday it could be the school that my kid goes to.
It can happen to everywhere.
Okay,
of course, horrifying.
During the winter, Mm-hmm. I'm sure that you you must enjoy getting down to warmer places when you're traveling. Do you like arrange or have your manager arrange your tour schedule to get you to a few warm places?
You know, I could probably be a little more strategic about that with my agent.
Come on, let's get that manager to work.
This was my first winter in Minnesota that it really felt like what people describe as a true Minnesota winter. Like those temperatures, I just didn't believe that that was happening, like, in the U.S.
Wasn't like, maybe it, like, that sounds minus 20 or something?
Yeah. 30 or something one time. Yeah, I listened to this local station up there, the NPR station up there, The Current. It's a great radio station if you're ever looking.
Oh, okay.
Not that anybody's listening to the radio anymore.
No.
You can also listen. We listen online.
Yeah.
But I hear the temperature up there frequently.
Oh, okay,
and
yes.
It was, like, negative 30 one day.
Yeah. Chad is from Fergus Falls, which is this town.
I love the name Fergus Falls.
Fergus Falls, so cute.
It is very cute.
Oh, Chad, I know. From Fergus Falls.
It sounds like something from like Schitt's Creek, right?
It really
like very wholesome sounding. Yes. So it's in northern Minnesota, and I guess a while ago there was a polar vortex there where it was like minus 50. It's like something crazy.
God.
And he said that if you touched the doorknob of your house, but from the inside, that it would burn your hand.
Oh my God.
From the inside.
What?
Oh my God.
That's how cold metal, I mean.
Oh yeah, no thanks. Geez. No thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm okay.
I just have an allergy to the cold weather. I really do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we live in Atlanta and it got cold down here too. But, you know, for me, it's, I grew up in Chicago and I think I've done my penance. I've done my time. I would rather stay down where it's just a little bit warmer. If I can avoid that, like, I'm not interested in going on a ski vacation. People call me and, you know, people like texting, hey, we're going to go skiing wherever. And I'm like, fuck that. You're going to go to be
For
cold?
What?
You're going to go somewhere to be cold? No, thank you. I'll take my chances.
You have to grow up
here.
With it to be used to it.
Well, she moved there. I mean,
I'm from
Washington.
Yeah, I'm from Spokane.
It's not that warm.
Spokane is very seasonal. It gets cold in the winter. We have snow, but not feels like minus 26.
No, it is. No, Minneapolis is its own thing.
Something
up
else.
There. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah.
So
it's
you've
probably
got
the lakes that are up there. That
It's land of lakes. Mm-hmm. It's the land of lakes. I see it on my cream box every day when I make coffee and eat cereal. Land of lakes.
That's us.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's where my cream comes from. Yeah. I'd like to think so anyway. When I'm looking at my cream box, I just imagine rolling field with snow,
place.
And cows,
butters
beautifully
being churned,
appointed, churning
by
butter.
Hand.
Yes.
Well, here's a funny, funny side note. I watched a couple of days ago, a National Geographic special on Antwik, the coldest place on Earth where people inhabit, which is up in, like, I don't know, somewhere in Russia or one of the former USSR states.
Oh yeah.
And it regularly is like minus 75 degrees Fahrenheit there for like 7 months a year.
What?
And the kids can go to school if it's minus 53 or warmer, but they cannot go to school if it's minus 53 or colder. They eat for breakfast strawberries and churned whipped cream. That's like their meal because it's got so much fat in it. That's what they need to eat. They need their constant, and that's the only thing they can eat because it's the only thing that can stay fresh is the actual dairy that comes from the cows that I guess are able to survive in minus 75 degree fucking weather. That sounds insane to me. Like the way these people live is like they might as well be on a spaceship somewhere near Uranus. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, again, it has to be just generational that you grow up. That's the only.
Well, yeah,
they have the
body tolerance for that. Yeah, no one's visiting this town.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So you get out your.
I'm cold now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So you get out your special, and now is it? Do you find it? I'm sure in some ways it feels good creatively to go out there back on the road. And are you knocking around the new material, planning the next special essentially?
Yeah, the timing of this actually worked out really well where once Mark Your Territory came out a couple weeks ago, it had been 10 months since I shot it. And so it gave me that amount of time to get a new hour put together. And so the hour I'm touring with right now is all completely different from the special, which is nice to be able to tell people when they comment like,
absolutely.
Oh, like I want to watch the special, but I have tickets to see you. Mm-hmm. Can I watch this special? And I'm like, yes, you can watch it and you can see me. It's totally different. So that's, it's hard sometimes when you shoot a special and you're like, oh my God, I want it out right now. But then you probably would not have a new hour ready. So it's kind of like finding that perfect spot.
Strategy.
Yeah, I think, I don't know who we were talking to, a company, Sam Morril, and he was explaining that, like, you know, Led Zeppelin can have one hit and go tour on that hit for like 25 years.
Yeah, comedy has to constantly be
But
updated.
He was explaining that, you know, once the hour's out, I can no longer do that material. He's like, I can do some of the best, you know, I can do some of the greatest hits. I can, you know, repurpose a joke here and there, or the thing that people like to hear, that, you know, their favorite joke, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. He said, but by and large, I got to come up with a new hour because no one's going to pay $50 to see me if they know they can watch it on Netflix. It's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
And that must be tough. Yeah.
It's really, and I don't think it was always like this. I feel like this has been a really big shift in maybe the last 10 years where it became this expectation that you're putting out a new hour every like 1 to 2 years. And it's like,
you're right. I feel like that's been a change from like the days of Eddie Murphy or different other, you know, comedians from back in the 70s, 80s could do the same thing a lot.
I know, like some of our favorite artists, like Rihanna's been talking about putting an album out now. And I think it's been like 8 years, maybe longer, like a decade.
Yeah. You're so right.
Yeah.
Like Justin Timberlake put his album out last year and that had been, I think, almost a decade or something. It's just crazy. Like that's what is expected, that they get this time to like be inspired and live life, and comics are just like desperately trying to like scrounge up material where we can find it. And but you know, it's kind of, I think it's like a muscle that if you have that pressure and expectation in your mind, you do kind of somehow come up with it. Right. And I don't know. We're all just doing our best, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that would be incredibly difficult to do. You look at Chris Rock. I mean, he would bring the pain was like, and killed us all, right? Oh my God, right. Chris Rock's, you know, stalking the stage like that over and over. He didn't come out with a new special until like a decade later. It was like 10 years in between those specials. And he was afforded that opportunity. And what did he do in between? I don't know, a few movies and a television appearance here and there. And he just really paid off of that for a long time. But now I think the age of the internet, because we're all so used to seeing new content every single minute.
And social media.
Yeah, that we can't just settle down and enjoy. You can't just enjoy what you want, listener. You now have to demand that Kelsey come out with a new hour every 15 minutes. It's not a reasonable expectation.
Watch
her special and then go buy her tickets. See her do Stairway to Heaven.
Yes, my Stairway to Heaven, my black dog. You're so right that it's social media too, where our specials, we end up like kind of cannibalizing them and turning them into clips immediately. Because we're trying to get people to watch the special and we're trying to get into the algorithm and push tour tickets. And so you can take like an hour special and essentially turn it into 60 clips. You know, that would be kind of a lot. But once you run out, you're like,
shit.
I need to shoot another special because I don't have new clips. It's like that's also a really big part of it, is unless you're relying heavily on like crowd work clips or podcast clips, having new special clips really like infuses your channels with like new lifeblood. You're like, oh my God, yes, I have something new to post.
More. Yes.
Yeah. It's a sickness. It's like, it's horrible, but it's,
well, if you ever need any mediocre comedy to distribute on your social media platform, feel free to knock us up. We do like 60 of these shows a week. So
it's
we're churning, speaking of turning butter, this commercial break never stops. That's for sure.
That's amazing though.
Kelsey Cook, brand new special out on YouTube and on Hulu.
Yeah.
And we would highly encourage all of our listeners to go listen to the special. And then regardless of whether or not Kelsey's going to do old material or new material, we encourage, and she'll do new material.
Funny. It's all really
it's all funny.
You
laugh harder in person because that's the way that it is.
And listen to her podcast with Chad.
Yes, Pretend Problems.
Pretend Problems.
Yes,
Chad and I. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You, please.
Oh, I just say, Chad and I have a few tour dates together in April.
Oh, really?
That we're doing for the first time. So we'll be in Long Island Montclair, New Jersey, and Philly, doing a couple theaters and a casino. So, yeah, please come see us there. We're really excited for that.
Okay, now tell Chad to settle down. There's room for both of you at the top. I mean, you guys could be, this could be Desi and Arnaz, right? You know what I'm saying? You guys could be, you guys could be the next power couple out there. Speaking of Justin Timberlake, you could be Britlake. I mean,
Britlake.
I saw you were at the Justin Timberlake concert. Was that
yes.
you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Look at you. She's a JT fan.
I mean, aren't we all? I yeah. am.
Huge JT fan. Lifelong insane fan, all of it.
I do bop my head to his music when the kids play it or Astrid
catchy.
Plays it. I do. I can't say I'm the biggest fan, but there are a couple songs. Is it the In the Mirror? Looking in the Mirror?
Oh, that's, Mirror, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He played that on Saturday Night Live once with like a full horn section.
He was really funny and on Saturday Night Live,
yes,
too.
He was really funny on Saturday Night Live. And then he ran that stop sign in Montauk, and then the Hamptons.
Yeah. I know.
The Hamptons. And then we all turned on Justin.
Uber. Yeah. Every famous person that has money should use Uber.
I know.
Kelsey, we're going to give you one piece of advice, because we've done so many of these stories, it's not even funny. Uber. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
Uber.
Your man. Just get wasted.
Thank you.
Yes. Tell that manager to get you a driver.
Yeah, you and Chad drink all the tequila you want.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. We're boring now. We've both been sober for like almost a year, but...
we talked about this last
boring.
Time you were here.
Yeah. Congratulations. I bet you feel great.
Oh, we do. I mean, it's just you get older and you're like, it's too much. I can't. No. I'm already just tired from like not sleeping right anyway. It's hard to add hangovers to it.
But. Yeah, passing out and sleeping are two totally different things. And you only know that once you get sober or once you kind of clean up for a while. I haven't had, I don't drink. I mean, I don't drink, I'm not a teetotaler. I would never, ever not have another drink. That's not, I don't go to AA meetings. Mm-hmm. But I haven't, because I have children, I haven't had drinks in a long time. I haven't gotten drunk in a long time. Right. And I will tell you what, there is something about it that has been quite life-altering in so many different ways that are easy to see now in hindsight, but would have been difficult to understand when I was drunk.
Yes. So I feel the exact same way. It's hard to actually be like, okay, am I really going to stop doing this completely? But it does feel so good that it's, I don't know, it hasn't been quite as hard as I
thought. You don't even want, like, it feels so good, you don't want to drink. Like, you're like,
once you get out of the habit.
Yeah, do you really want to wake up hungover tomorrow? No, probably not.
Right.
Because that kid's going to be bouncing on my face at 5 a.m, and I don't want to deal with it. Right.
Please
tell Chad we said hello. Welcome here.
Thank you, guys.
Anytime, Kelsey. Oh. And we appreciate you coming back. You're one of the few who agreed to it, and so.
You guys are so, it's always really nice to talk to you, truly. Thank you for having me back on.
Well, thank you, Kelsey. We hope to see you again soon. Congratulations on all of this success from Chrissy and I and everybody here at TCB. It couldn't have happened to a better person. And onward and upward. Nice. This isn't the last stop. We're giving a eulogy, but it isn't the last stop. You're going to keep on going.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Well, thanks
thank you.
Again.
Okay. Yeah, have a good one, okay?
We said hello.
Bye.
You too.
Bye.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Ah, good old Kelsey Cook. I do enjoy me some Kelsey Cook.
I do too.
Yeah, she's really, really sweet.
She's solid.
She's solid. But don't let that fool you. Go to watch her special with your kids' earmuffs on, because she's good. I think one of my favorite jokes was using a bidet in the middle of Minneapolis in the winter. It's like getting local anesthesia on your asshole.
I think one of my favorite ones was about her trying to connect with the daughter, Chad's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole Instagram thing.
Oh.
the the daughter said, I'm unfollowing your girlfriend, by the way.
Well, she'll probably unfollow us, too, after this after this appearance. But we do like Kelsey Cook. And KelseyCook.com is where you get more information about her tour, about her specials, and about her podcast that she shares with that boyfriend. I think maybe in the future, according to her, might be a husband, but we don't care. We like Kelsey either way.
And Chad.
And Chad. But Chad hasn't come on the show yet.
No.
What's up with Chad? Why didn't Chad... Didn't we invite him on last time she was here? We said, hey, tell Chad if he wants to come on, he can come on.
I don't know, but we have done the whole wife-husband thing with
Hannah
and
Dez. That's right. Yeah. Dez Bishop, he's also got his own podcast.
He was a repeat, too, with
us. A repeat. Reggie Watts was a repeat. Mm-hmm. I think there are a couple more repeats, some of your favorite guests coming back up. Because they can't get enough of the commercial break. Listen, they all want to be like Kelsey Cook. They all want their careers to go skyrocketing to the moon.
Yes.
Dez Bishop, Reggie Watts, Kelsey Cook. Who will be next? Stay tuned. Stay tuned, you. More surprises to come. Anyway, KelseyCook.com. We appreciate her coming in. We really do. And she's welcome anytime. She's one of those. And Dez and Reggie are one of those, too. There's lots of them, but there's a couple of them where you're like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's
too easy to talk to you.
I know. Yeah. We could do it for hours.
And then there's a couple that, you know, it's probably a mutual agreement that, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe commercial break's not the place for me. And I would say, maybe not. You're right. I never thought I'd get to the day where I'd say, well, no thanks, celebrity.
Yeah.
Don't come on the show.
I'd like to have Heather again, but she might be too big.
I don't think Heather McMahon is coming back on the show.
We caught her. See? Another one.
Another one.
She came on our podcast.
Heather McMahon.
Boom.
Hannah
Burner.
Explosion. Kelsey Cook.
Career explosion.
Career
in a good
explosion.
Way.
Yeah. It seems like we have the Midas touch for everybody but ourselves.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. The Midas touch for everybody but ourselves. And then I saw Felipe Esparza on Joe Rogan. Now listen, whatever you think about Joe Rogan, he is sometimes the king of the hill. And to be on his podcast is a big deal. And I just saw him on Joe's podcast. Or I saw a clip of him.
I saw that he was on there, too. Yeah. And I heard that Rosebud Baker was on the Today Show.
Rosebud Baker on the Today Show, on the Tonight Show. Yeah. Wow. Maybe there is something to this commercial break. Celebrities, pay attention. And you're welcome on. You have to go through our agent, though. Talk to our people. All right, TCB Podcast.
Or just call us. Yeah.
TCBpodcast.com. All the audio, all the video right there at one location. And your free swag at the commercial break on Instagram. TCB Podcast on TikTok and YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak. You know the phone number. Text us questions, comments, concerns, or content ideas. Chrissy, that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
And best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe, including Kelsey. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.